Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Welcome to the Business of the Business podcast. I'm your co-host, JP Ajapaz from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me is the doctor himself, Mr. Lavi Marlin. Lavi, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, John. I am I'm refreshed from my doctoral research. As I mentioned, it was a few months ago, and I'm now ensconced in the Donald Trump UFC research. So I actually had subscribed years ago to UFC Fight Pass.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
I wanted to see what was in their archive related to like old UFCs that might have Donald Trump on them or mention him or whatever it may be. And it wasn't like a complete archive. I was surprised by that. But I was still able to sign in for a few hours. Like, I was like, have I been paying for this? But then like my the system like recognized that or whatever. But I did order some old school collection of USC DVDs. I don't know like where this is from because like the box feels very flimsy, but it's UFC 21 to 30. So my next thing, maybe after the conclusion of this podcast, is to see if it still plays on a DVD player, because I'm a little bit suspect based on what came in the mail from eBay.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's interesting. Now, that's super interesting, but this may be more interesting. And I'm talking about the biggest fall TV deal you haven't heard of yet. What in the world is this? What could this possibly be?
So, John, you know, like one of those like brass ring sort of like mystery things that if only wrestling can get XYZ, it'll be bigger than ever. For years, it's really been China, just because there's so many people in China. And certainly, we've talked to Middle Kingdom Wrestling and so on, Adrian, about his great efforts there. But, you know, the next big market that we always hear about is India. You know, WWE is super popular there. There's been different tours there. We've heard, like, big numbers coming out of there years ago, 40,000. And then there's been tours where everyone got sick. We could see it ourselves, just like on YouTube when they feature Indian talents, even on like the Mae Young Classic, you know, just like huge numbers. TNA for years seemed to be propped up by the contract that they had in India with Sony and so on. So there's always been this like dream of like breaking into the Indian market. And in terms of domestic big time Indian wrestling, with TNA, right, there was the Ring of King series, but there really hasn't been anything else. And suddenly this news breaks across my like Google News, and then PW Insider covered it several days later. I'd like to call this the biggest TV deal you haven't heard of. So let's dissect this a little bit. Prasar Bharati and AEX Sport partner to broadcast Global League Wrestling. GLW will be broadcast on DD Sports and streamed on Bharati's digital platform, Waves and Air, with the first season running for 40 weeks. Bharati, the national public broadcaster, has signed a strategic memorandum of understanding with AEX Sport, the sports innovation vertical of UK-headquartered Adi Group, to broadcast Global League Wrestling, a pro wrestling league in India and Asia Pacific region. So one of the first things I had to look up was, is this professional wrestling or is this professional, you know, freestyle, folk style, amateur type wrestling? Because India is one of the only countries or regions prior to the recent US efforts that have semi-big time professional real wrestling. But this is pro wrestling. The collaboration combines Bharati's reach across TV, digital, and radio with AEX Sports' expertise in branding, content production, IP, and marketing to create a sports entertainment property for Indian, Asia-Pacific, and global audiences. GLW will officially be unveiled September 17th, followed by its broadcast debut on October 4th, coinciding with the Government of India's continued push to promote sports and youth engagement. GLW will be telecast on DD Sports and streamed on Bharati's digital platforms Waves and Air, with the first season running 40 weeks. Navnet Kumar Sigal, chairman of Bharati, emphasized, this marks a new area for Indian pro wrestling. The idea is to catapult the Indian sports to the global standards. Building on an existing partnership with Hockey India, the Handball Association, and others, this partnership reinforces our commitment to promote a variety of sports and will give India's next generation of youth and athletes a national platform. Gaurav Dwivedi, CEO of Bharati, commented, this partnership underscores Bharati's continued commitment to delivering engaging, culturally resonant, and high-quality content to Indian audiences. GLW introduces a new genre of youth-led programming that combines traditional Indian storytelling with international sports entertainment standards. Sanjay Viswanath, chairman of Adi Group, said GLW is part of AEX Sports' broad mission to build immersive and inclusive sports-based cultural experiences for sports fans worldwide. We're dedicating GLW to India on the auspicious day of September 17th. To build Indian youth's pride and self-confidence through competitiveness and excellence in sports entertainment, and so on. The GLW format is designed to reflect Indian culture while meeting some global standards, and so on. Of course, bolstering GLW's appeal, the great Kali will serve as a brand ambassador and talent commissioner. In his dual role, he'll play a pivotal part in talent identification, mentorship, and content development. The great Kali stated, wrestling transformed my life and gave me a global platform. GLW presents a serious, structured, and entertaining opportunity for the next generation of Indian athletes to follow the same path. GLW will help them shine on Indian and global stages on our own terms. So I just want to go over one other article that covered it extensively before going over some questions about these distribution platforms and so on. Bharati and AEX Sports signed a memorandum of understanding. Let's see here. Bharati has entered a strategic partnership. We'll see GLW broadcast on TD Sports. Let's see, 40 weeks. Will be expected on national platforms, television, radio, and digital. Okay. JLW has developed an emphasis on Indian cultural production values and so on. Okay, so actually that's pretty pretty similar. So, John, before we go into some explanations via Grok, what do you think about the prospects here? What type of questions do you have about something like this?
I'm just so fascinated with this. They're going to try pro wrestling again in India, but really just have an Indian-based company. Of course, Grey Khali, the former WWE superstar, of course, he's involved.
Yeah, so it'll be like sort of the expectation is that high production values, it's not yet clear if there'll be international talent involved, although Mike Johnson of PW Insider did say that Cam Vale, friend of the podcast, is involved. Yeah. Of course, the Australian promoter who made waves not only with his own promotions, Oceania and Melbourne Wrestling, but also bringing StarCast to Australia and so on. So, you know, that's the first time I saw Cam's name attached, although it's all very young. So once that comes out, we'll invite him to the podcast. But, you know, sometimes it feels like a mystery, of course, in a new market. Who are these players and what's going on? So in terms of the media, Prasar Bharati, it's India's public broadcaster overseeing Doordarshan DD, the National Television Network, and All India Radio AIR, the National Radio Network. It also operates Waves, an over-the-top streaming platform. The role in the partnership, Bharati will broadcast GLW on DD Sports, its sports channel, and stream it on Waves, and also audio coverage via AIR. You know, we have to remember that certain parts of India are very remote, and you know, it's not so much of like a television rabbit ears or something like that, where people get their news via audio. So you can create some form of knowledge or interest over radio too. This multi-platform approach ensures accessibility across TV, digital, and radio. As India's public broadcaster, Bharati has a mandate to reach every corner of the country, including remote and rural areas, making it a unique player in the media landscape. It focuses on family-friendly and culturally relevant content aligned with growing sports like wrestling. AEX Sports. So AEX is a sports and media entertainment entity focused on promoting niche or emerging sports. AEX is collaborating to produce and promote GLW, ensuring the league's content is tailored for broadcast and streaming. AEX Sports is likely pivotal in bringing a new wrestling league to the Indian market. The reach of Prasar Bharati. DD Sports is one of India's oldest and most widely accessible television networks with a reach that spans urban and rural areas. It's free-to-air channel, making it accessible to millions of households without cable or satellite subscriptions. From what I gather here, it's sort of like PBS. It has a strong presence in Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and rural regions, where private broadcasters often have limited penetration. I'm assuming Tier 1 would be like, you know, the biggest cities in India. Waves OTT platform, launched in November. Waves aims to modernize Bharati's content delivery by offering digital streaming. While still new, Waves has been expanding its portfolio with partnerships like the aforementioned Hockey India League. To include sports, entertainment, and regional content, its digital reach targets younger, urban, and tech-savvy audiences. All India Radio, AIR is a massive radio network with stations across India, broadcasting in multiple languages. It reaches remote areas where TV or internet is limited. Combined reach, Prasar Bharati's multi-platform ecosystem provides unparalleled, estimated to cover 90% of India's population, which includes 1.4 billion people across urban and rural areas. Its free-to-air model and multilingual content makes it uniquely positioned to penetrate diverse demographics from metropolitan centers to remote villages. John, if we're, I'm not sure how it's all measured, but if we're to count radio listeners, television, OTT, you know, we might have the most watched wrestling program in the world.
That's the way to do it.
So free-to-air and low-cost platforms, subscription OTT platforms. This makes GLW available to a wider audience, including lower income households. a cultural reverence. Bharati's focused on Indian culture and sports. Okay, so I asked Brock to compare it to other deals in the region. Pro wrestling in India is primarily dominated by WWE, with other promotions like AEW and TNA having a smaller presence. Here's how Bharati's reach for JLW compares. WWE, broadcast partners, Sony Sports Networks, and streamed on Sony Live, a subscription-based OTT platform. Sony Sports is a leading private sports broadcaster. It has a reach of approximately 70 to 80 million households via cable and DTH services, with Sony Live adding millions of digital subscribers. However, Sony's channel requires paid, limiting access compared to free-to-air DD Sports. WWE's flagship shows like Raw and SmackDown premium live events attract a dedicated fan base estimated at 10 to 15 million regular viewers in India. Whoa. WWE offers a we know what they offer. AEW. Is available on Eurosport India. And we often hear Eurosport India. Sometimes it cycles through, but I think they've had New Japan on, if they don't still. Back in the day, they had a Ring of Honor. It's like a popular platform for like alternative brands. A smaller sports channel with limited reach compared to Sony Sports. Other promotions like TNA or independent circuits have negligible presence, often limited to niche streaming platforms or YouTube. Eurosport India's reach is significantly smaller, estimated 20 to 30 million households, and its audience is niche, focusing on urban sports enthusiasts. AEW's viewership in India is likely under 2 million, far less than WWE's. I think they'd be thrilled, right, if it was 2 million. AEW, we'd hear a lot more about it. AEW offers a more athletic wrestling. Okay, we know what they offer. GLW, so free-to-air model. Their viewership will depend on their ability to attract fans in the marketplace. As a new league, GW lacks the, well, it's brand new, right? The expectation is this will be family friendly. So I next asked, is this a big deal? Yes, Bharati AX Sports partnership is a big deal for several reasons, though its ultimate impact depends on execution. Its unprecedented reach, its ability to democratize wrestling, its boosting Indian wrestling. It provides competition for WWE in the market. And it's interesting with its strategic timing, as they're a focus on domestic sports leagues. Challenges brand recognition. What will the production quality look like? And what will the star quality look like? So it's a significant move. It surpasses the current distribution platforms for wrestling in the market. It's the potential to make this a household name. Obviously, you're using with Great Khali already. This is not yet, you know, an active promotion. We don't know too much about day-to-day management, the talent involved, and all that. There is a lot to talk about. So for a promotion that hasn't started and hasn't named any talent yet, except Great Khali being involved in some level, I think that covers it as best as possible.
I love it. Now, it's just interesting, though. Like, are they really going to be like a global powerhouse at all, or this is just India and that's the focus, and you know, let's see what they do kind of thing?
So this station apparently has a footprint in many parts of the world, basically wherever Indians are in the diaspora, or like expats, I'm not sure how you'd say it best, but you know, obviously here in the US it's you know, it's very niche or low profile. Maybe it's accessed over like upper tier platforms in certain cable systems or satellite dishes and so on. But I think you'd have more residents in Asia, in the related continents and regions where there'd be similar cultural relevance. But, you know, with strong production values, and if they develop talent that resonate, I think it would be interesting to watch. Obviously, you know, if somebody breaks through, then WWE or AEW can pick them up and really market that. I guess part of it is also like sometimes, like if you're from the area, it's hard to be like global unless you've left and come back. So like what will be like the, you know, interest in bringing, like in developing talent, will there be some sort of like training system? I think you'd have to have that, you know, eventually being fed, but you have all these talents, of course, that are from India themselves or their family is Indian, and you can bring them in as well. I'm thinking, who's the guy from TNA that used to do like, he had the shake, the, it was sort of like during Dixie Carter's time, like he would like, sort of like shake his arms back and forth, and it was like a thing on TNA. I know if you if it doesn't sound familiar, it sounds kind of weird, but the Mahabashira shake or something like that. I think.
Oh, Shira, yeah, Shira, yeah, yep.
I think he's with OVW now, so you have obviously a lot of but a fair amount of people out there that you can fill out the roster with. But obviously, if you're working with Cam Vale, you have access to, you know, whether it's always confusing, it's the continent Australia or it's Oceania, but you know, from there to work with talent through Asia, from Japan and so on. So like it's sort of like it's pretty far away from North America, so you kind of like can carve out something, you know, very different. So something to see, and I'm sure some of the content will carry over, but like in the same way, like some people find like Bollywood movies intriguing. I don't need to get it, right? It's not for me, but I just don't get it, right? So there'll be that sort of thing of where it's not necessarily made for everyone. It would have like a niche appeal. So I don't think like in terms of competing in North America or the UK has a very big Indian population, depending on the country, but like that sort of thing, like North American wrestling, I don't think it's there, but depending on what it is and funding and the appeal in tier one Indian markets, as I'm learning the terms here, like that's where the money will be and the talent to develop. So it could be nothing, or it could be a top five wrestling promotion, you know, pretty quickly in its own way, but it's 40 weeks. So like that's an interesting thing as well. Like, okay, if it comes off, you have these 40 weeks, how did it go? Is it renewed? And sort of like, how do you grow from there?
Yep. What is going on in TNA wrestling? I know Bound for Glory, but there's a lot of TNA news going on right now.
So Bound for Glory, like I'm, you know, you can't doubt it sometimes. I'm pretty surprised that, and this was the first count from WrestleTix. I don't think there's been another one. So this is a few days ago. Thus far that, actually, it's been reported that the pre-sales were like 20 or 30% above what they've ever done. And there's already 3,000 tickets out the door. This, I'm probably mispronouncing it, Sangha Center in Lowell, which is about an hour, from what I understand, outside of Boston, about an hour outside of Providence. So they say Boston market, kind of. You know, and this venue, it could be set up, depending on how you set it up for certain things, maybe up to 10,000, which sounds a little bit high, but certainly you can do it, and they'd love to do it, where you can break a record that they just set for Slammiversary. So I think just the fact that it's off to a good start sort of like is intriguing and keeps it in the news. You can't go to the well too often.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Often, but like a last match that really plays off lapsed fans and Attitude Era and so on, and both do have a significant history in TNA. Hardys against the Dudleys sort of for the last time. So you have that. You want to find something that appeals to the current TNA fans. Hopefully for them, WWE continues to give them strong coverage. And I think like a smart thing for them to do to keep it going would be like find a way for fans from out of state to want to travel. Like I would say to develop ticket packages, to secure deals in hotels. I don't know if Lowell is like a big market for like hotels and fans and whatever, so people could stay maybe outside of it, but find a way to bring in X number, X percentage of people from outside the market. I would have said like not to to go for a record, you know, plan on the next Slammiversary, but hey, they have the hot hand here, at least for big shows and something to take advantage of. What did you think, John, when you heard like how hot they start out and like what Carlos was saying, that he wanted to break the record and he's talking about it everywhere?
Pretty surprised. I mean, I love the attitude of Carlos Silva Bennett. I love that they're going for it, but pretty surprised. You know, they're pretty hot. They're really selling some tickets. I feel like using the Hardy Boys is obviously a strong start because they have a huge fan base. So, you know, it's bold, but I love it.
So in terms of what's nice, and this show isn't on Ticketmaster. I think it's something else, but thankfully WrestleTix was able to track it anyway. But you know, as TNA does shows that are, you know, on Ticketmaster or larger platforms, it's easier to track the tickets, which is great via WrestleTix. So as you're hearing this for the first time, it might be the day of the first show or shortly afterwards, but August 15th in Baltimore at the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Arena, which is quite large. And I'd be sure that they had no plans of selling that out or, you know, anything like that. It was a very small setup. That's a good first day, relatively so in such a big venue, 1,220 tickets, and then a big drop off the second day, which is not unexpected. Thus far on 8/16, 679 tickets. In Minneapolis in the Armory, 432 tickets, 575 tickets the second day, September 4th and 5th. Edmonton Expo Center, which I'm not sure if it's like a certain section of the center, if it could be expanded, but they had gotten off to a pretty hot start for a show. Well, it's inching up, but 5-6 weeks away, September 25th and 26th, just about 1,500 tickets gone for those, and then followed by Bound for Glory. Just in terms of some other TNA notes that I didn't record, didn't note in our notes here internally, was that they're thinking about, pursuing video games, a video game license. For a number of years, that was like a big thing for TNA. But I feel like wrestling video games was a rare thing back then. Now there's like a number of games, some of them like high profile, some of them downloadable, and you just play it on your phone or whatever it may be. It doesn't seem to resonate as much. We're in our 40s, but I'm not a big gamer, but I like to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I convinced my son to download it on his computer. I forget what it's called, but you could download all the games, on there. We're having a great time with like old school games. But generally, John, do you hear a lot about like wrestling video games anymore outside WWE license?
Not really. I did for a little bit, like Jeff Jarrett was a part of a game, but recently I haven't really heard much about games, especially since AEW's game kind of flopped.
Yeah, that's true, right? AEW had I mean, they probably still do, the AEW Games division. And was that Kenny Omega that was like formally running it or just involved in that? And that seemed like the reporting was like of their early years, that was the thing that was keeping them from profitability sort of before they sort of hit a wall in which they're emerging from now. And the second thing is the TV or distribution streaming deal, however you want to phrase it. I don't know if it's, if it's worth talking about week to week, because it's sort of the same story and I'm not saying I doubt it, but like the timeline keeps getting bumped out further, and the same names again. But it felt like Carlos's interviews this week were sort of like made it feel more serious to me than the previous week, where it seemed like it was being used more for like Slammiversary promotion.
What about NWA? What's going on with Billy Corgan's NWA right now?
Yeah, so just a couple of things, nothing too unexpected. They're returning to Center Stage in Atlanta on October 17th for the Samhain Part 3, sort of like their horror-type centric show, if I'm describing that correctly. Their 77th anniversary show on August 16th. We haven't covered, I guess it's just a couple of days away as we're recording this. And kind of what you'd expect, I guess, in terms of tickets distributed in Huntington, New York. The venue, the Paramount, is set up for 745 and 395 tickets distributed. In a week, 24 tickets were moved. So I expect that to pick up a little bit a day or two before, because this last count was August 8th. So maybe, I would guess, 100, 125 more tickets moved. So maybe 500 in the building for that, which I think that's what, you know, you could expect for that sort of thing. And then Tampa is really their home base in terms of recording at the PBS studio there, WEDU, on Friday, September 5th. They, of course, a small setup. And I'd expect that to be full by the time they have a show there.
What is going on with MLW? Because I feel like Paul Walter Hauser is like a part owner, but now he's in AEW. What the heck is going on over there in MLW world?
Yeah, like the Paul Walter Hauser effect is basically like gets MLW in the news now, or, you know, if there's something else, which we'll talk about. That probably it was Paul Walter Hauser's influence. So, John, I don't like, I haven't heard when Paul Walter Hauser was on AEW Collision. Like, do you know, did he talk about MLW or just sort of like a separate thing?
No, when I was watching it, he wasn't talking about it at all. He was like literally engrossed in the AEW storylines and stuff. So I didn't hear any MLW talk.
So, I mean, like, obviously, he's still involved in MLW, but it's sort of like maybe the draw to him is just being involved in wrestling and, in, you know, sort of as many platforms as he can. I think at one of the screenings or whatever, he was wearing like a Ring of Honor hat or jersey, whatever it was. So, you know, it certainly would be an opportunity, like, right, with all the different groups and partnerships. I know, I mean, it seemed like early on, with AEW, there's a little bit of friction with MLW, as, you know, they brought MJF over and so on. But so if there's a relationship that can be brokered, it would just sort of give another avenue to AEW, you know, in terms of talent that they can just cycle through or have on occasion. And obviously for MLW, that would be a pretty big deal. Obviously, they approved, or, you know, there's that flexibility for MJF where he crossed over into MLW, so maybe there's a little bit of something simmering there. Just when I thought they were on that, and actually they're very quiet through into September, where they'll then resume with the show in Dallas. But an interesting story, MLW partners with Danny McBride, right? That's Kenny Powers
from
the HBS show.
Yep.
And Don Gato Tequila for Charleston, South Carolina special. So it's interesting that, like, I don't know if this is on purpose or whatever, but probably not, but like Paul Walter Hauser and Danny McBride are both sort of like, you know, no body shame, but they're kind of like out of shape, like, but they're interested in like athletics, you know, that sort of thing. McBride won't be wrestling or anything like that. But like, it's sort of like a certain brand is coming across in MLW, probably unintentionally. But what is this all about? Mucha de los Muertos, live from Charlestown Music Hall. MLW is teaming with superstar McBride's Don Gato Tequila for a first of its kind live broadcast Lucha Libre event, MLW versus Don Gato Lucha de la Muerte, as a historic Charleston Music Hall in Charleston, South Carolina, on Thursday, November 20th. The event marks MLW's first event there, broadcast live on beIN Sports, streamed on YouTube. Don Gato, I guess, is this character, right? So there's referencing to I guess the tequila character sort of like come to life. I don't know. So it's like a unique event, and it got variety of coverage. Actually, variety covers explains it a little bit more. So let me go there. And what may be a first for the wild, woolly world of wrestling, an actor will play the role of a character associated with his boutique tequila brand in a bid to rally the promotion's fans. McBride will be involved in the creative element of MLW Showcase to be held. Let's see. McBride will not actually wrestle, but is likely to turn up to promote his Don Gato tequila. He better show up, right? Don Gato was reluctant to enter the ring after injuries he sustained spearfishing in Cambodia, but through my charm and constant nagging, I was able to get him on board. You're welcome. I am beyond psyched that I'll bring his tequila in cool times to MLW here in the Holy City. So I think it looks like a cool venue that generally can seat 965. When you're like in a theater, it's always like a question, do you put on the stage, the ring, it's a little hard to see, or do you sort of, if there's an orchestra element, like put a platform on there and have wrestling there. So interesting to see the setup, but sort of like a rare two shows coming up in November for MLW. So just looking from most recent to furthest away, September 13th in Dallas, October 4th in LA, November 15th in Chicago, and then November 20th in South Carolina.
What is going on with GCW? They, speaking of a ton of shows, they had a ton of shows. What is going on with GCW?
Yeah, so the war is finally upon us here for Gathering of the Juggalos. So, John, did you see that story with Madman Pondo and Mickey Knuckles being fired publicly because of setting someone on fire in the the SummerSlam weekend in New Jersey?
Oh yes, I did. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I was like, wasn't sure what that was all about because they were supposed to be in the main event of the show, so maybe it's sort of like separate themselves a little bit from the heat. I'm curious, William Center, like what was their reaction to this sort of thing and how much was planned and how much was not, whatever. But looking forward to the clips that come out about the GCW, JCW shows, which we've long talked about. Quietly upcoming after that is the homecoming weekend in Atlantic City for GCW. It felt, maybe prior to last year and in and around before, maybe a little bit after COVID, that like it was kind of like a notable weekend. Like you'd have something like John Moxley pass through and whatever. And like it feels a little bit quiet to me, but we'll have to take a look at what those sales are like coming up. But in September, Detroit Harpo Theater on September 12th, the following day, in a park in Indianapolis, the Rumble on the River. Then on the 19th in Mesa, then on the 20th back to LA. Of course, Bloodsport in late September, and then Anchorage, Alaska on October 4th, and then Vermont, to follow.
What about WOW? What's going on with WOW?
So a rare interview with David McLean talking, usually it's sort of like these big mainstream outlets, but he spoke to Ringside Intel. We tried to get David on this program. He was very kind over email, but didn't seem like it was in the cards from corporate side of things to come on, maybe one day. But McLean told Ringside Intel he hopes to start dipping into pro wrestling free agency eventually, but the promotion needs to surpass one more key hurdle before it can do that. I look forward to targeting free agents. I think what WOW has to do, though, is it's got to grow. We've been growing organically and been growing with the help of Paramount, and we've got to grow to another level, another step up as a wrestling brand, and that is live television. We've got to get on live TV and weekly broadcast, and then we can look into adding notable free agents. So that would be really interesting because, as we've talked about for a number of weeks, WOW tapes over a series of dates in the same market, over the same month or a few weeks, for a full year of shows. So like something where you'd be live weekly, you know, certainly you can do it from a studio or something like that, where you don't have to travel around, but that'd be, have to be some sort of different deal and not the syndicated model or in addition to, but speaking of Paramount, we've certainly heard a lot of news about Skydance Paramount Skydance and the merger and all of that. So now, with TKO on the UFC side. So, you know, whenever you have these mergers, they look at different divisions and so on. And the one WOW comes out of is this syndicated division, which I would guess, like, I don't know, is not that lucrative, right? Because it's sort of like a barter thing with stations where you get a certain amount of airtime and the other one gets the airtime and so on. It seems like it's, I would guess, like a thin margin. So just curious to see if that would have any effect on Paramount, if it would maintain that division, and ultimately if it affects WOW. You know, sometimes it takes a year or 18 months to see if there's like any corporate changes as they go through efficiencies and opportunity costs, different buzzwords. But when you have your main platform coming through something that just had a major changes and major resources being pointed in certain ways, how might that affect something much smaller?
Now, here's my favorite topic, here and there. And this is going to be so random. There's a name in here I wouldn't have thought we've talked about it on this show in a million years. And I actually interviewed this guy, but you'll get to him in a second. Here and there.
Yeah, and John, I was actually going to say it seemed like someone that you would have interviewed. I didn't realize that you actually had.
I did, yes.
But first, Limitless Wrestling, Vacation Land Cup 2. So last year we were fortunate to do a whole like case study with the owner of Limitless Wrestling, sort of like, you know, what were planned and what were the expectations and all that sort of thing. And the Colosseum, is it for sale? And would they be able to do it again? Well, they did it again. They booked the Hardys. This time, Tony Atlas wrestled. He didn't just make a special appearance. I noticed locally that through my Google alerts that they got a lot of coverage for it. And what people have said was that 1,700 people were in attendance. They listed as a huge crowd. You could see from the pictures and some of the video that came out that, you know, people were in the risers. Sam Laterna said that they'd set an attendance record. So just seemed like a success overall. So that's that. Next, just to circle back to the Poughkeepsie Mid-Hudson Civic Center, in its old name, what I'll always think of it as, with Awesome Championship Wrestling, as they sort of like revived the building for wrestling after NEW hadn't run there in a while, just to kind of like check back in. And, you know, over the last 8 months, they're running it pretty consistently. So there was a show in January, then May, then July, and then the next show will be October. One thing, though, to note, at least from the estimates from Cage Match in terms of the attendances, the first show did 1,500, the next show did 1,000, the next show did 800. So I would assume pretty good, but, you know, if the next show does 600 and the show after 400, I'm assuming that, you know, it's not going to be consistent in that way, but, like, you have to find what's your bottom and then sort of build it up to make it viable, but that just looking at it from, you know, a few steps removed. So in terms of what we were hinting at a moment ago, Charlie Thunderblood yes. Norris, unfortunately passed away, but he had a tribute show. And it's just, it's one of two stories that we'll talk about tonight, sort of like things that are not really covered much beyond outside of markets or certain niches that I think are meaningful and important. So the memory of Charlie Thunderblood Norris, Red Lake band member and professional wrestler, took the main event center ring in mid-July at Seven Clans Casino, Thief Rivers Falls. The outdoor ring, surrounded by ringside and extended seating on an 80-degree late afternoon under a partly sunny sky, was where the showcase event was held. About 500 spectators attended the MAW Midwest All-Star Wrestling main event. This was a showcase event with international wrestlers like Jake Roberts, Bob Orton, Sam Houston, plus Paul Virk, The Real Drago, Garrison Creed, The Widowmaker, and Samantha Starr. The family of Charlie Norris approached the casino with the idea of a wrestling tribute show, said Verdell Bellew Jr., the general manager. When I came on as GM, as we were exploring different options for summer events, I remember going to wrestling shows at the casino when I was a kid, and it piqued my interest. Just wrestling alone would have been exciting. Having the honor to help make this show a reality only meant that much more to me as a community member of Red Lake. My role in the event was to ensure that everything went according to plan. Francis at marketing and David from MAW both did a great job planning everything out, and it was our job at the casino to execute. To be able to stage a showcase event, the planning and management had to be top-notch, and the beautiful weather definitely helped. Leading up to the event, we met weekly with the management teams. We went over checklists, overall layout, marketing, setting up the arena for the rest of the locker room that could be easily accessed. I remember seeing Charlie around our community. My mom was always so happy to see him, and she'd share stories of the wrestling, what it was like in the area. Charlie Norris' career was explained in detail. Okay, so see, they covered his Wikipedia profile. So people to learn more about Charlie Norris, go search out the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling podcast with John Paz featuring Charlie Norris.
Was a big-time WCW superstar, so people should know the name. They should recognize him. Obviously, he was on TV a lot and pay-per-view as well, so early 90s, so people should remember that, hopefully.
Yeah, I think like around 93, he was a pretty solid like first or second match on the pay-per-view opener. Sort of like the equivalent of like the Cole brothers, or like as a single, I guess. Would that be fair, like in terms of place on the card?
Yep. He would get some wins, though. He got a big win at Fall Brawl 93 on pay-per-view. So, I mean, he would get some wins as well. But yeah, he's definitely solid, like top of the card type of guy.
Nice. So one more story, and this is a different facet of things we often hear about, like faith-based wrestling, church wrestling, where, you know, the objective is, A, to raise money, but also to bring people in of that faith. The Baptist paper had a pretty in-depth article, and I'll cover a fair amount of it here just because it's interesting and kind of gives insight into this type of thing. First Baptist Church Taylorsville recently hosted a unique fundraiser to support the church's Christian school, an evening of wrestling and ministry. The private Christian school was founded 5 years ago and enrolls 45 students. Last year, we tried wrestling as a fundraiser and it was successful, said Gwen Creel, a teacher and assistant administrator. There are people who follow wrestling just like people who follow baseball, beauty pageants, or horse shows. This is part of the wrestling circuit. It's a ministry. They call it the Lost Art of Wrestling. Reagan Anderson, a facilitator at the school and the sister of one of the owners, added their goal is to reach the lost through wrestling. They've been in business since maybe before 2019. They took a little break during COVID, but are back at it full swing again. This is something kind of new and different. I'm not fond of it, and some of the folks in the church aren't either, but one of the local pastors will do a devotional. Despite the skepticism from some, Creel acknowledges both the spiritual and financial impact. People pay good money for this. It makes good money for the school. The wrestlers come in and do everything. And Skinner Wrecker Service is a good sponsor. That's an awesome name. That's a wrestling name. Skinner Wrecker Service. We also sell refreshments and ask people to donate. The Lost Art of Wrestling is owned by Paul Reels, Micah Thomas, and Samuel Reels. I'll start from the very beginning. When I was 6 years old, I was in a car wreck, broke my leg, and crushed my femur. I told my mom that when I grew up, I wanted to learn to walk again. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. I wanted to wrestle for Jesus. That's where it all really started. Reels began wrestling at 16. At 18, he attempted to start a faith-based wrestling, but it didn't work out. That was in 2012. I broke my ankle the next year. Hey, you know, be careful out there. And didn't know if I would ever wrestle again, but I wanted to. Later, while living in McGee, Reels connected with Thomas, whose mother was close friends with her mom. We always talk about wrestling. We were all Christians. We were like, we need to tie this all together. It took into 2019. I was just a fan. I did everything I needed to get it started. I had Mike as my backup. And if we couldn't cash a check, I couldn't do this or that. Michael was my go-to. Just two guys, one wrestler. We started Law, the Law Star of Wrestling, because we're reaching the law through the art of pro wrestling. So pretty extensive article about halfway through here. So definitely seek it out if you're interested in this facet of the business. Give me one moment as I get my audio back and going. Can you hear me, John?
Yeah.
Okay. I lost the part to hear you, but I assume my audio was still good. So that is here and there. And I think that's pretty as far here, near and there we've ever been, right? So yes. Maine, a little bit upstate in New York, a Native American casino, as well as faith-based wrestling. So that's as here and there as it gets.
All right. Good stuff, Lavi. As always, thank you, everybody out there, for tuning in. But let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two-Man Power Trip. How about you, Lavi?
Follow me on X, Lavi Marg, LavieMarg. Please like, share, retweet, all that good stuff. We're up to 10 reviews on Apple, and that's looking good. That was a milestone that took a little bit of a while. And please search us out on LinkedIn, the Business of the Business group. We're growing and hoping to reach 150 members within the next few weeks.
All right. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for the Business of the Business. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Well, winners are getting paid. Now that backlash is in the books, now it's time to regroup before that storm hits. Just like the WWE, the real setup is already in motion. From every promo, every face-off, every backstage stare-down on Raw and SmackDown, it is all building towards one thing, Money in the Bank. If you know anything about Money in the Bank, you know chaos is coming, surprise cash-ins, career-defining moments, wild upsets. It's one of the most unpredictable cards of the year, and if you're ready, it could be one of the most profitable, too. Even if you've never bet on WWE before, this is your window. Keep one eye on WWE and keep the other on MyBookie. When the lines go live, they won't sit still for long. Lock in right now. Go to MyBookie. Use the promo code CONTROL, CONTROL, and boost your bankroll. Deposit $50, get an extra $25. Go bigger with $100, and MyBookie throws in $50. That's right. Use the promo code CONTROL. Boost that bankroll, deposit $50, get an extra $25, or go bigger, deposit $100, and MyBookie will throw in an extra $50. Bet smart, stay ready, and cash in when it counts, only at MyBookie.